Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Miguel Montano with Word of Life Church here in Santa Barbara. And first of all, I just want to say thank you for allowing us to come into your home today and to be part of your life today on this beautiful Wednesday. You know, I want to say a special shout out to my beautiful wife, Pastor Lily, that is back there, my camera woman. Say hello.
Hello, hello.
She's over there holding the camera for us. But I just want to say thank you again for allowing us to come into your home and to be part of your life today. Before we start, I want to just go over a few things just to get us in the right frame of mind. Can you please do us a favor and tell somebody, tag somebody in the comments, a friend of yours, or somebody out of the state, somebody in another country, a friend, a family, whoever, just tag somebody so they can come today and be strengthened and encouraged by the word of God. So number two, I'm asking you to take a picture, post a picture of yourself, of your family while you're watching. You know, I'm all dressed up. I told you to dress up, and look, I'm wearing my tennis shoes. I'm ready. Look, I'm not in my pajamas. I'm dressed up. So I would love, since you're seeing me, I would love to see you and your family. And then I want to go over some life updates real quick, just to keep things into perspective, so you know what's going on and what's happening in our church and in this upcoming weeks. Number one, I want to tell you that whoever is unable to watch via Facebook, perhaps they don't have a Facebook, they can always watch in our website. If you go to WOLSB.com, there's a link in there where a person can watch the messages there as well. So they not necessarily have to be a Facebook user. So just I want to just point that out because sometimes people do not know. Number two, this upcoming Sunday, we're going to have communion as a church family. So I'm asking you to gather your elements, get ready, get around the table, your living room, whatever it is that you watch. Maybe everybody in your household is in their own device, but for us to have communion together as a family, it's going to be an amazing, powerful time. So I want to tell you in advance so you can prepare. Another thing is that this upcoming Sunday, we're going to have two services online. We're going to have one service in English at 10:30, and then we're going to have one in Spanish at 12 o'clock. So if you know your Spanish speaking friends, you can have them watch during the Spanish service at 12 o'clock. So starting this upcoming Sunday, we're going to have two services. And the last thing before the last thing, we're asking everybody to send us a video of your children. Send me a video of your kids. Ask them what's Easter to them, what Easter is all about. And whatever they tell you, just send us a video. We'll love to showcase them. We're trying to put a video together for our Easter service so we can show all the people their kids. And the last and not least, download our app. If you haven't done so already, we have a church app. This is brand new to us, but the app is real cool. There's a lot of different things in there. There are your devotions. You can have, you can take notes. You can give online. You can watch previous messages. It's real cool. The app is real cool. Of course, it's absolutely free, but we encourage everyone to download the app because it's a great way to communicate back and forth. So if you haven't done so already, please download the app. It's very easy to use, and it's a tremendous blessing. You know, one next thing before I go on is that I want to encourage you and thank you for your faithful giving. I know during this time, a lot of people have approached me and they have said, Pastor, how do we give? How do we continue to give? So you can always give via our website. You can always give through the app. You can always mail in your tithe and offerings to the address that is in the envelope. But I just want to say thank you. Thank you to all of you that have continued to faithfully support the church and the ministry, because you know ministry goes on, and ministry is not possible without people like you, faithful tithers and givers, which reminds me of the story in the Bible, in the book of Matthew chapter 14, about the little boy that have a few pieces of bread and a few fish. And the Bible says that he surrendered that to the disciples. He surrendered the little bit that he had to Jesus. And at the end, when it was all said and done, he went home with baskets baskets full of blessing. So I just want to encourage you during this season that it might be a little tight, but sacrificial giving is what touches the heart of God. So I want to encourage you to continue faithful in your giving, and may God bless you. You know, a couple of days ago, a wonderful couple from the church, it was an amazing story. Wonderful couple. They called me, I believe it was Monday night. They called me and they say, "Pastor, you know, we just want to let you know that we are ready to complete our pledge towards the facility," a pledge that they have made some time ago. And for them and for anybody, it was a good amount of money. And they said, "You know what, Pastor, but we want to remain faithful." You know, very easy they could have said, "You know, well, we're going through a difficult time, the hours of," no, but they chose to be faithful in their giving. And for that, I know that God will bless them abundantly. So I just want to encourage you to continue faithful in your giving, for God will bless you. You know, in times like this, you know, everything is going crazy. No one really knows what's going on to a certain extent. There's so much confusion out there. There's so much misinformation. There are people that are, you know, they don't really care. There are those that are panicking. And we are somewhere in the middle. And I ask myself at times, where will we be without God? Where will we be as a nation without God? Where will my family, where will my life be without God? I tell you this, I need God in my life. And I'll be the first one to say, "God, I need you in my life." I want you to watch this short video to encourage you, because you need God in your life. God bless you. See you in a moment.
I am nothing without you. I cannot live without you. I cannot breathe without you. Without you. Without you, I am nothing. I have no purpose, at least that's how I feel. I mean, what's it like to be stuck on top of a mountain where there's beautiful scenery but no air to breathe? No one to fill your lungs with destiny. No one to give you hope to hold on to. No one to hold you close when everyone leaves. It's just you, forgotten, alone. You work day to day, but you know that something's missing. You go back, retrace your steps, and find that you left something behind. That maybe back on that path, there's something you missed. Someone who tried to call you, someone who tried to text, someone you just ignored. You hung a do not disturb sign on the door of your heart and let it rust. Ashes to ashes and dust to dust, return to the earth you must. And I know that this is daunting, weighing on your shoulders like a heavy weight. But someone carried your mistakes, and your life was valued by him. And even though you haven't given him the time of day, he's been waiting for you, waiting for you to accept what he did for you, waiting for you to realize that you can't do this thing on your own, waiting for you to know that your money or even your family can't save you. It boils down to just you and him. So let him in, let him in, let him in. He is God and he is true. Jesus died and rose for you, and history can back that up. Your external sources are fried, but an internal source provides on and on and on. So jump, leap, trust, believe. He's all you need and more. Everything you leave behind is nothing, cause he has more in store. Oh God, I am nothing without you. I cannot live without you. I cannot breathe without you. Without you.
A video is extremely encouraging. I really, really like it, because where will we be without God? You know what? I'll be the first one to say that I need him in my life. You know, today I want to just share with you for a few moments a message that I know that is going to strengthen you. It definitely has strengthened me. And I titled the message, "What to Do in a Moment of Adversity." You know, collectively as individuals and of course as a nation, the world for that matter, we're going to a very unexpected time, something we did not expect. No one can really even plan for something like this. This is a serious challenge. And to be honest with you, one of the reasons we know it's a serious challenge is the stories that we get from the media at times. Sometimes the stories are conflicting. You know, there's a lot of opinion there. We look at the media not for answers, in a sense. We look at the media for information. However, it's up to us to digest and put that information through the Word of God to really know what's going on. And we have noticed that over the past months, in a sense, it's been forever, but I'm just going to just focus on this for a moment. There's a lot of confusion in the media, a lot of back and forth. And we go to the Word to get the truth. So today I wanna read you out of the book of John, chapter 16, verse 33, what it says. These are the words of Jesus. This is Jesus speaking to the disciples, and he's speaking to me and you today. He says, I have told you these things that in me you may have peace. Listen to the words of him. He says, I've told you certain things that you can be at peace in your heart. Can you say the word peace? Can you type the word peace in the comments? Peace. Peace is the common denominator. In other words, everything else takes a second seat, a back seat to peace. If a person has health but don't have peace, it doesn't really service them in any way. If a person has finances but they don't have peace, it doesn't really service them. So the key word is peace. Peace is the common denominator. This is what the world wants. This is what we want above anything else. You can have money, you can have health, you can have good looks, but if you don't have peace, those things take a back seat, because peace is the thing in the forefront, what we want, what we need the most. He says, I've told you these things that in me you may have peace. And then he says, in this world, you will have trouble. Listen to what Jesus says. In this world, people are going to have trouble. In this world, we all are going to have what? Trouble. So trouble is not something that only hits certain people. Trouble affects everybody across the board. The same way that everybody's looking for peace, everybody's going to experience trouble. But then he says three words that have changed my life. He says, but take heart. Can you type that in the comments? But take emoji. He says, take heart. I have overcome the world. Sometimes people think that because they're serving God, they will be exempt from trouble. That's not what Jesus said. He says that everybody in this world, we're going to have affliction. We're going to have trouble. There's going to be drama. There's going to be trauma in the world. And as long as you are on this earth, you are prone to experience challenges, difficulties, difficult times, disappointments. But he says, you know what? Take heart. Another translation says, be of good cheer. Be happy because he has overcome the world. You know, the part that turns calamity upside down is taking heart, is taking courage, is standing on the word, is for you to know that what Jesus did on the cross is more than enough to change circumstances around you in the name of Jesus. I just wanna go for a few moments to a story in the book of Acts, because it presents, it's kind of a parallel to what we're going through today. The disciples, Jesus just recently, I'm going to put it in context so you see what I'm saying. The disciples, Jesus just died. He resurrected. The Holy Spirit came upon them. Peter preached an amazing message. Thousands of people came to the knowledge of Jesus. And they're about to launch out into the world. Now, the world was hostile against the gospel. You know that in history books, you know that, you see that in the Bible, that there was a lot of resistance. In other words, they're about to pioneer. The church is about to be pioneer into the world, but there's a time not only of opposition, but a time of persecution. You know, most people, most people in America have never experienced persecution because of the gospel. Perhaps some opposition, but not persecution. I'm talking about costing people their lives. Every once in a while, somebody comes to me and say, oh, pastor, they persecuted me in my job because I'm a believer. I say, persecuting you, it's a big word. Perhaps they're harassing you a little bit, but I promise you, if you get there 10 minutes before your shift every day, they'll stop. So the church is about to face the most difficult challenge, pioneering the Church of Jesus Christ all over the world. There's so much opposition. Everybody's against the church. And this is what the Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 32. Acts 2, verse 42. It says, they continue to hold firmly to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread, and to prayer. What to do in a moment of adversity? Watch the answer. Continue to move forward. It says they continue to hold firmly. In other words, they were what? consistent. What do we do in a moment of adversity? We are what? Consistent. Can you write the word consistent? Write it down. Consistent. Don't write it with an A, because it's with an E. Cheese. They continue to be what? Consistent. What do we do in a moment of adversity? We are what? Consistent. We continue to doing the things that we know to do. I like to say it this way. Life is not about the big things that we do. It's about the small things that we do consistently. The Bible says that the little foxes spoil the vine. In other words, little things can mess up big things. But think about it, put it the other way around. The small things that we do consistently turn into big things. You know, the other day, I was, every day we try to go to the beach to walk for a little bit, just to exercise, to get out of the house, as long as, in Jesus' name, I'm praying that this deal will be over soon. But we just like to go out and walk. And the other day I was walking, and I was with my son. He was riding the bike. Pastor Lily and Stephanie were on the other side. And we're just walking. And I see this group of people that they were not spring chickens. I put it to you that way. They were not 15. They were not quinceañeras. I just turned 38 the other day. And I could, cheese day. And they were, I put it to you this way. A group of people that when you looked at them, you're like, dude, you should be inside your house. So they were exercising. And there were like six or seven of them. They were up in age. And it's very interesting because I see them running, but then all of a sudden they were walking. And then I see them running again. So I timed them. This is what I did. I timed it. So we were walking kind of in the same direction. And what they were doing is they were running for 30 seconds, kind of slow jog. And then they walked for 30 seconds. And they were running for 30 seconds. And they walked for 30 seconds. So I timed it. So I'm here with my son and we're talking story or whatever. And when before I knew it, I looked in the distance and they were they were far ahead from us. Why? Because they were doing it what? Consistently. The things that we do consistently will take us, man, far in life. So what am I saying? It's not the things that we start. You know, somebody said years ago, I heard this, I thought it was real cool. He says, life is not about where you start. It's about where you finish. That's awesome. That's a good word. I promise you. That's a good word. However, in order to finish, you must what? Continue. So it's not about just starting. It's about continuing. In other words, continue to do the things that you know to do. During this season, during this moment of adversity, during this moment of this difficult time, continue doing the things you know to do. Don't slow down. Don't turn back. Don't let the circumstances get the best of you, but continue doing the things that you know to do. In other words, no one gets a diploma by just starting school. No one loses weight by just joining the gym. No one saves money by just opening a bank account. No one has a wonderful marriage just by getting married. All those things are only what? The beginning. So how do I move forward? I continue. During this season, discipline yourself to do the things that are getting you closer to God. During this season, it's a season of disciplining ourselves to do the things that are getting us closer to God. So number one, and I encourage you, I got like four or five points. I just want to encourage you. Number one, continue to plant seeds in the lives of others. During this season, you know, Sunday when we spoke, I said, hey, take some time every day to call someone. Not text, you know, just take some time to call someone. In other words, get personal, especially during this time that we are very impersonal in a way because the contact. By the way, Sunday, I have a great message for you, and it's going to be a blessing, and it's called spiritual distancing. In other words, there are things in life that are way more dangerous than a virus. So I want to encourage you, Sunday, come join us. Spiritual distancing. There are things in life that are way more dangerous than a virus. So I want to encourage you Sunday to come and join us. So number one, continue to plant seeds in the lives of others. I'm going to read you out of the book of Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. That says, and don't allow yourself to be weary or disheartened in planting good seeds. For the season of reaping the wonderful harvest you planted is coming. In other words, take heart and continue to plant seeds in the lives of others. You know, we have at our church, we have something called life groups. These are groups of people that we meet throughout the week. And it's amazing. All these people in the life groups, they're meeting online. It's real cool. So if you say, you know what, I would like to be part of one of them groups, just on the line there and comments, just say, hey, I want to be a part of a life group. How can I get more information? Last night, there were some people meeting in groups, meeting online. I know tomorrow, some other people are going to meet online. So if you want to be part of a life group, because you know what, it's a good thing, man, when we are in community. It doesn't matter if you're here in California, maybe you're out of state. Maybe you could be in a different country. It's all good. Just said, hey, I want to be part of a life group and we'll follow up with you. And we connected to one of our groups. So number one, continue to plant seeds in the lives of others. During this season, continue to plant seeds in others. Continue to encourage, continue to strengthen. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, those who live to bless others will have blessings heaped upon them. In other words, in another translation says, he who waters others will be himself watered. So the first thing I want you to do is to continue to plant seeds in the lives of others. Continue to uplift people. Continue to pray for them. Continue to call them. Continue to encourage them. Number two, continue to stand firm in the word. What do I mean by that? Continue to love. Continue to forgive. Continue to give. Continue to serve, continue to declare, continue to stand in faith. In the middle of all this, continue to stand in the word. This is definitely not the time to slack when it comes to the word. You continue to stand in the word. Hold no unforgiveness against anyone. Anybody that has done you wrong, just forgive them. Let them go. Continue to stand in the word. The Bible says in the book of Luke chapter 21, verse 19, and by standing firm with patient endurance, you will find your souls the deliverance. What do I do? You see, great victories come after great battles. In order for you to have a great victory, there must be a great battle. And this battle is no joke, I tell you that much. But this is time for us to continue to stand in the word. In other words, continue to declare the word over yourself. God's still on the throne. God's still working on your behalf. God's still your provider. God's still your healer. God's still your protector. He's still the Prince of Peace. His hand is upon you. God's still your strong tower. During this time, you continue to declare those things over yourself. Continue to stick to it. Stick to the word during this time. You know what? Say, I am not abandoned. Come on, say, I am not abandoned. Say, God is with me. I got my camera lady there amening me. Number three, during this season, what to do in the season of adversity? Number three, continue to put your feelings in check. Hear me out. Our feelings are our emotions, man. You got to be cautious because sometimes people feed their soul, their emotions, their mind. They're feeding with all this media stuff, you know, with the news, you know, everything is getting from bad to worse. Some people say 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years. It's all crazy. You continue to put your feelings on check. No, I got to go back to the word. In other words, continue to allow faith to rule over your feelings. You know, motivation, I like this quote that I read a while back. It says, motivation will get you to decide, but discipline will get you to do it every single day. In other words, let your decision carry you when your feelings leave you. Let the decisions that you make carry you. You know, when I'm talking about moving forward and forgiving and loving and giving and serving, let the decision that you make carry you forward when your feeling leaves you. I like something that Pastor Kuna said years ago. Perhaps I'm butchering it a little bit, but I pray that you get the gist of it. And it says, act your way into your feelings and don't wait your feelings to move into your acting, something like that. In other words, just start doing it, even if you feel not to do it, but just start doing it. And the last one, and I'm almost done, is continue to expect God to move. Continue to expect God to move in your life. You know, I don't know if you know this, but in the book of Psalms, most of the Psalms in the Bible, most of them were written by David. And most of those Psalms were written at different seasons or different stages of David's life. So David wrote a lot of the Psalms, and they were written in different times of their lives. And there's a story in the Bible about David being at this place called Ziklag. And I preach about this before. I'm certain that you have heard this before. He was at a place called Ziklag. Some people describe that day the worst day of your life. And if you haven't heard the story, I'll just tell you a little bit about it. The Bible says that David has left his family at this place called Ziklag, and he went to attack, him and his men went to attack another place. And when they turned around and looked back, Ziklag was under fire. The city was under fire, the city where they live. So they ran back to that place. And the Bible says that they had the people that came, I believe with the Philistines, they have taken everything that belonged to David and his men. They took everything. They took their wives, they took their children, they took their gold. I mean, they just cleaned them. And then they set the city on fire. And all the men that were with David, they were super angry at him. They were furious. They were upset at him to the point that the Bible says that they were trying to kill David. You imagine that? You lose everything you own, everything. You get wiped clean to even, you know, not only financially, not only material things, but your wives and your children, the entire family is gone. And the only thing you have per se is your man, you know, your man in your army. And now they're trying to kill you. Oh man, that's a tough place to be. The Bible says that David got the ephod, you know, he went and prayed to God, which is awesome, because if you read in the Bible, the story of David, David never moved without inquiring of God. Many times in the Bible, you read that David says, let me go ask God, let me go ask God. And sometimes, man, we make all these crazy decisions in our lives without even considering God. You know, we say, God, I decided, you know, I'm going to enter into this relationship. Can you come in and bless it? And God said, I never told you get into that relationship. Can I get an amen? Mm-hmm. Well, so he said, hey, let me inquire. So he inquired of the Lord. And of course, God gave him a word. He says, hey, pursue, overcome, and recover all. So David went and pursued. He took he got everything back and then some. So it was a tremendous blessing. However, in the middle of all this, David writes Psalms 16. In the middle of the most difficult time of his life, he writes this psalm. Amazing. Psalms 16. I'm going to read you a portion. Promise you it's going to bless you. Just imagine, this guy is facing the most difficult time of his life, which to some people at this time may tell you this is not a cakewalk. Things are different and things are difficult, but God's still good. Listen to what he says. I'm going to get my glasses here because el no puede haber mucho bueno. It says, perhaps in David's worst moment of his life, he says, Book of Psalms, chapter 16, verse 8. Because you are close to me and I'm always available, my confidence will never be shaken. For I experience your wraparound presence every moment. He says, God, I know that I'm going through a difficult time, but one thing I know, you are with me. You have not abandoned me. Which is your story, which is my story. Perhaps this is a difficult time, but one thing I assure you, God has not abandoned. You know how it's not abandoned you, abandoned me. You know how I know that? Look where you're at today. And sometimes people say, well, Pat, no, look where you're at today. You want more of God. You're getting closer to him. And the Bible says that if we get closer to him, he'll get closer to us. So I assure you, God has not abandoned you. He says, verse 9, my heart and soul explode with joy, full of glory. Even my body will rest confident and secured. He says, in the middle of this trial, I am joyful. Why? Because I know that my God is faithful. Same with you, same with me. We're going through a trial. This seems like a difficult time, but we can be faithful. I mean, we can be joyful, for we know that God is what? Faithful. Can you write that down in the comments for me real quick? Can you write God? Can somebody say God? Lula. God. She's over there writing her comments. God is what? Faithful. Watch this. And then he says, verse 10, for you will not abandon me to the realm of death, nor will you allow your Holy One to experience what? Corruption. David says, and you can sum this up in a simple sentence. David says, God, I'm going to be okay because I know that you got my back. So just remember, God is with you, God is for you, and God wants to use you to reach those around you. Can you say it? Can you say, God is with me, God is for me, and he wants to use me to reach those around me? So the only thing I want to close with this, the only thing, I have one more point and we're done. The only thing I want to say to you today is, hey, stay in faith and keep moving forward. In the moment of adversity, just keep pushing through and keep moving forward. Don't relax. It's not the time to relax in any area of your life. This is a time of keep moving forward. Like the apostle said, they were steadfast. In other words, they were consistent in what they started to do. So this is what we're going to do. And I just want to give you a heads up. Starting this upcoming Monday, we're going to enter into a 7-day Daniel fast as a church family. You know, these are different times, man. And I tell you, we know that through prayer and fasting, things do change. So we're going to pray for unity. At the beginning of the year, God gave us a word as a church from the book of Genesis, chapter 11, verse 6, where there was a group of people that the Bible says that they were united, speaking one language with one heart, one way of thinking. And the Bible says that God says, nothing that they set out to do will be impossible for them. Listen to the word. One heart, one language, one way of thinking. They were united. And when there is unity, the Bible says there comes the commanded blessing. So we want to pray for our nation that we are united in one mind, one accord, no more divisions, that we're going to stand united, because we know that once we start united, there's going to be a blessing. So in order for us to conquer this thing in Jesus' name, we got to stand united. So this Sunday, so I'm giving you a heads up so you can eat all the Oreos that you got at your house. before Monday, don't buy any more Oreos. Go to Trader Joe's, go to Whole Foods and get you some real fresh fruits and vegetables. It's going to be a great time. I just want to encourage you today to keep pressing forward in Jesus' name. How about if we pray together as we're getting ready to close? If you have a prayer request of any sort, just write it in the comments. You know, we have leaders online that we're glad to pray with you. And number two, if you want to be part of a life group, I want to encourage you during this season. Maybe you have never been to a life group. Well, now you don't even have to leave your house. Heck, life group is coming to you. So if you want to be part of a library, you say, Pastor, I would like to be part of one of the small groups. How do I do that? Just write it on the comments. Hey, please, someone contact me about a life group, and we'll link you up to some of the life groups that are going on. God is an amazing God. I'm just grateful that you join us today. I pray that you were encouraged, that you were strengthened, that you are leaving this place with a different attitude in Jesus' name. Will you bow your heads and let's pray. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for every person, every family that is watching today. I thank you, Father God, for I know that their hearts have been strengthened and encouraged. And maybe, Lord, if there was a time in their lives during this season that they felt like quitting, or they felt like giving up, or they felt like relaxing, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that they were arrested today by your Spirit, Father God, to take their commitment to a new level in you, Father God, helping others, Father God, doing the word, standing in the word, Father God, declaring the word over their lives in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for them. Father, I release a blessing upon every family, Lord. I declare that no weapon formed against them will ever prosper. Father God, I plead the blood of Jesus over every household within the sound of my voice, Father God. And I declare that in the middle of the trial, they prosper for your glory, for you are a good God. In Jesus' mighty name, if you agree with me, you type amen and amen. I bless you much. I will definitely see you Sunday. Remember, 10:30 in English, 12 in Spanish. Have your communion elements ready. We're going to have a great time in the Lord. We love you much. Lala, dile adios.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. We love you.
I love you. Blessings. We'll see you in Sunday. Jesus' name. Amen.